That's great.
Okay, sign. Akisa, and Samia, come here, please. Join me here on the stage.
Short?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Probably it will be after the break.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Sit in the middle.
On a une personne qui va intervenir en français, le premier interprète va intervenir en français.
Et je vais demander à avoir une traduction.
Et ouais, mais je ne sais pas s'il y a une traduction organisée.
Ah non, je prends pas. Il n'y a pas de session, on n'est que pour la plénière.
Est-ce qu'il y a quelqu'un? Vous êtes fluide?
Ça marche toujours pas. Ça marche toujours pas.
Récupérer mes...
Allô, Sir Hayek.
Ah, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Can we check if I have got the right presentation? Have you an update?
No.
Okay.
It's the same.
Just a check.
It's the same. You should have it.
So where are you here?
Number 10, I guess.
Yes, 10. Yes, exactly. Yes. So I'm very pleased to meet you. Yes. This is the presentation there.
That's it.
Okay? That's fine. Thank you.
That's perfect.
C'est possible d'avoir une présentation?
Oui, tout est sur le site, ouais. Mais tout de suite, là. Elles sont là.
Après.
Je les ai là. Oui, bien sûr. Tu cherches ça.
Non, c'est...
On va essayer de faire la traduction. Ça va, Monsieur Béraud, pardon.
Ah, on entend. C'est bon.
C'est bon, je pense que j'ai la dernière. Tu veux regarder si tu as la dernière? Béraud. France, Béraud. Regarde si tu as la... C'est pas là. Hein. Je pense.
Oui,
normalement, c'est...
Vas-y, c'est parce que j'ai souvent porté celle-là.
Je l'ai tant attendu que je me souviens encore. C'est Carly. Je t'ai envoyé un message parce qu'il y a Monsieur Sanou qui voudrait faire la présentation en français. Il faut qu'on se débrouille. Ok. Ouais, moi non plus, mais je peux te. Ou alors tu prends des notes.
Je prends un micro et je vais le faire mesure.
Ouais, t'as un micro.
Ça prend beaucoup de temps.
Ça prend beaucoup de temps, là, je m'en doute ça.
Voilà, c'est pétrole.
C'est mieux.
Il y a pétrole.
short.
Maybe we can start. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I'm Nicolas Condon, CEO of Ecophilae, a French innovative independent consultancy specialized in water reuse. And I will share the moderation of this session with Dr. Samia El Ghendi from Egypt, who accepted to be here. Thank you very much, Samia. We have the honor also to have in our company Dr. Akissa Bari, who accepted to be the chairman or chairwoman, I don't know how we say, of the session. Thank you very much. Probably most of you know Akissa from books, from articles. And Akissa is probably one of the most experienced worldwide experts on water use. I'm not joking, really. While she has initiated a lot of projects, even in the times when only a few people were investigating this topic. She occupied several positions, for example, in the International Water Management Institute, African Bank, or African Water Facilities. So we have we are here for a roundtable. We firmly believe that the key to success for water reuse is to share experience, to discuss together, and also to propose and to identify the good ideas to develop sustainable products. So I won't be long, and I am going to pass it over to Akissa and then Samia to introduce this session, and I will come back to explain to you a bit the procedure we have identified to run this this session.
Thank you, Nicolas, and good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for the invitation. I'm happy to see how the topic of water reuse, it used to be mainly IWA and the water reuse group within IWA, and the ICAD is really seen a number of presentations on the topic since yesterday. I think it's a very important one, and it's important that we also shape the way we think about the topic. I will start with very short few introductory slides, and then leave the floor to Samia and to Nicolas. First of all, I would like to start, but what do we mean by wastewater? Because there are different kinds of definition. We don't have the same understanding of what is wastewater, what are we dealing with. And I have borrowed this definition to UNDP, from the Sick Water book. And so it's a combination of one of more domestic effluent, black water, but also grey water, water from commercial establishment and institution, including hospitals, industrial effluent, stormwater and other urban runoff, agriculture, horticulture, and agriculture effluent. So you see, it really encompasses a number of different kinds of effluents. It is more, looking at wastewater from a more holistic point of view. So we are not only dealing with wastewater coming from the cities, but from the cities, but also looking much broader. Another thing that I would like to stress, that more than 90% of the cities in developing countries are served by latrines. And this is a very important. So we are focusing very much on wastewater treatment plants, but in fact, 90% is on-site sanitation. And this, when people have their latrines being emptied, it goes straight to the field and is being used for crop, fed,
for different crop production and mainly vegetables. So I want you to keep this figure in mind, 90%. And from the wastewater that is being treated, 80% is being discharged. 80% of the wastewater is being discharged into the natural environment without treatment. So you see also the waste of resource, because it's water with nutrients and so on that is being discharged without without treatment. So it means that we have to look at this. This question from the point of view of protection of water quality, but also, and it is going to contribute to ensure sustainable development, poverty alleviation, job creation, human and environmental health, and people's well-being. This is just a map that is not, I think, completely accurate. It is not showing all the countries, but I mean that are using wastewater for agricultural purposes. But at least it shows. You see in red the countries where it is a use of untreated wastewater, in green planned treated of wastewater, and in blue you have both. But you have here part of sub-Saharan Africa. There are a number of countries that are using also untreated or treated wastewater, but you see that it is, this should be much more red. And you see it is also a lot of this wastewater that is coming from China, India, and other countries. This is a graph showing a link between, a relationship between wastewater agriculture and city poverty index. There was a survey that was carried out by IMI over 53 cities in the world, from Latin America, up to Asia, covering Africa. And it's showing that there is also a strong link between the poverty index and wastewater. It means that also a lot of the poor are using, or cities where they have not a high income, people are using untreated wastewater. This is a picture from India, from the Mutsi River, showing, all these untreated mix of fresh water, but also untreated water. Livestock, people bathing there, a lot of women that are also using this wastewater for growing, vegetables, different kind of spices and so on, and that are exposed to different kinds of risks. And also in Africa, a number of cities where you have gardens that are contributing to food security. Most 80 to 90% of the vegetables that you eat in the cities are coming from these gardens. So when you eat, a sandwich or, lettuce, it is coming from these areas. These are unregulated, completely. People don't pay attention to this, and it is quite, and we don't know even. We have the figures about 6 to 8 million of hectares that are being irrigated with treated or untreated wastewater in the world, but all this is not really, all these areas are not captured, so it is much more than that. So when we think, as I said, of how we are going to deal with this question, very often we start by thinking of the sewer, the sewer-based approach and to how we are going to treat, the wastewater in order to produce treated effluent and stabilization sludge, but stabilized. But very often we don't think of the other chain that is around, all this fecal sludge. And, when we deal with cities and from the planning point of view, we really have to see how this the sewer-based chain and the non-sewer-based chain can work together. And in fact, there is a real revolution that is happening from the point of view of rethinking even the toilets. The Gates Foundation has launched, a competition about toilets, and there is a lot of new ideas that have come completely to revolutionize, the way we think of toilets. Toilets are going to become a small treatment plant, and they are going to produce different kinds of byproducts. And this byproduct that we see also, biogas, urine, also this. And there are also ways, so through this, sewer-based and non-sewer-based way of, when we plan these two chains, ways of combining these two chains. So I am just appealing to you to just think of, urban planning and how we can have in all developing countries a different way of thinking of sanitation and treatment of wastewater and on the fecal sludge. And that can, all these byproducts, it can be, I mean, valued financially and economically, because this is all about this. So how we can recover resources and costs, because when we treat wastewater, we are going to produce water, energy, metals, nutrients, and valuable organics. There are new technologies that can transform wastewater and biosolids. This is also something that the GACE is supporting. There is what we call this omniprocessor that is going to transform, trying not to go through all these risks chain and just from the fecal slash to transform it immediately to energy. So you see there are different kinds of thinking and very new and way of approaching the question. Just to think that we have, there is an environmental, not only environmental value to wastewater reclamation and reuse, but also financial from this recovery of water, nutrient, energy. And we were talking this morning about phosphorus and so on, but also social with job creation value. And very often reclaimed water is priced attractively. I know, for example, in Tunisia, it was always lower than fresh water in order to make it, to gain public acceptance. Farmers are benefiting from the nutrients, and the resource recovery systems involves also strategic partnership for business development. We don't have so much time to talk about this, but there are a number of jobs that can be created and strategic partnerships that can be created through this. So the question is how to promote safe and productive use of wastewater through the multiple barrier approach, so moving from, you know, discharge of fecal sludge irrigation with just untreated wastewater and this that is being sold in the market to having, you know, appropriate wastewater treatment, but also trying to reduce health risks at farms through safe irrigation practices. But not only this, because we think that, you know, the water that is coming out from the treatment plant, that's it, but it can be contaminated during transfer from the treatment plant to the field and the crops from the field to the market. So there is all this chain of contamination that takes place, and we have to think of different handling practices, safe food washing and preparation and awareness creation. So the question is how we can move from using untreated wastewater to treating wastewater that can be discharged, but to reclaim wastewater so it can be reused for multiple purposes. I'm just putting on the table a few questions. Which research should be undertaken to enable upscaling resource recovery systems? How can possible health and environmental risk be mitigated? And I think that also Samia will touch upon this. Which institutional and regulatory frameworks, because this is also a very, very important question. How can we demonstrate the potential benefits of productive use of wastewater to policy and decision makers? And I think that there are a number of approaches. And how can we prepare the next generation? Because this is also about the youth and the professionals, and transfer knowledge to operators and professionals. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Akisa, and for the questions also. We'll try to have some elements to answer them. Please, Samia, could you go on with the introduction of the session?
Okay, thank you.
Try 7 minutes.
Okay, I will do my best. Dr. Akisa, Dr. Nicholas, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. It's my pleasure to be with you today and to hear from all your experiences. Egypt now is facing water scarcity, and wastewater use is one of our strategies and planning now. And actually, I will benefit, yes, from the discussions of today. Of course, yes, due to the expected water scarcity soon all over the world, every country now looking for non-conventional water resources to be used for irrigation. Actually, up to one-tenth of the world's population eats food products using wastewater, and also worldwide more than 20 million hectares are irrigated with urban wastewater. The driving forces for using wastewater are water and nutrient recycling, environmental protection, food security and nutrition for poor people, Millennium Development Goal, fulfill the Millennium Development Goal, especially ensuring environment and sustainability and eliminating poverty. Reuse of wastewater, even treated wastewater, has with advantages, disadvantages. It contains a variety of pollutants, salts, metals, metalloids, pathogens, residual drugs, organic components, active residuals of personal care products, and other things. Any of these components can harm environment and ecosystem and soil and plants and groundwater and the human health from pathogens. Agriculture fields workers and their families, crop handlers, consumers, persons living near wastewater irrigated fields could be also harmed, as Dr. Akisa mentioned. To avoid health and environmental hazards and to reach the economic return, the following should be done. Application of wastewater has to be properly treated and carefully managed for effective use, applying national and international codes, laws, legislations, guidelines, and etc. And of course, all of you know about these guidelines, and it is explained furtherly in WHO publications. What is the forms of wastewater reuse? We have direct use of treated wastewater, and this has this is always planned and under control over the convenience of wastewater from the point of discharge from the treatment works to the controlled area where it is used for irrigation. And in more cases, wastewater received at least secondary treatment, planned use happened. And this it is always classified under public facility applications and used for landscapes, streets, gardens, golf areas, and so on. And we can find this form mainly in developed countries. As there is direct use, there is indirect use, and it has the same features like the direct, but the treated wastewater discharge first to water body, then agriculture areas. And then the direct use of non-treatment wastewater. This use directly from sewage systems almost by individual farmers who have farms or fields very close to treatment plants. Or farmers' associations include the use of the sludge from septic tanks and many countries. This occurs in many countries in Asia and Africa and Latin America. Also indirect non-treatment water reuse, and this when the developing countries which has no enough funds for treatment, sometimes they dispose the non-treated wastewater in agriculture drains, and in this case farmers can use the agriculture drains in irrigation when they have any irrigation water shortage. The major constraints leading to slow reuse of wastewater in many countries can be grouped into the following. This is actually the institutional constraints. I will not talk about technical constraints. Of course, all of you know it. First, the preference for fresh water over wastewater. Of course, all the farmers prefer to use fresh water. Land quit information on the status of reuse and or disposal of different forms of wastewater and the associated environmental and health aspects, and overall inefficient irrigation and water management schemes, undermining the potential of water reuse, legislation restriction, and or weakness in law enforcement. I give an example. For example, we have in Egypt, this is the criteria in our law for COD and BOD, and total soluble salts and dissolved oxygen. You can see the COD is much more less than the guidelines or the criteria in the Netherlands. We have it 80, and in the Netherlands it is 120. This table also shows the standards in Egypt, Morocco, Jordan, and the EU. You find also in Egypt the very strict, the law is very strict. Therefore, the many treatment plants cannot fulfill these requirements. Second, incomplete economic analysis of wastewater treatment and reuse options, usually restricted to financial feasibility analysis, precise high cost of developing wastewater collection networks and wastewater treatment plants and low return, lack of wastewater treatment and reuse cost recovery. Mechanism include commitment in most countries to support comprehensive wastewater treatment programs, mismatch between water pricing and regional water scarcity, and inadequate public budget, and fear of economic precisions in trading agriculture products in national or international markets. To reduce wastewater use constraints to how, because the title of this roundtable is looking for solutions or time for solutions, we put some institutional and policy solutions. First of all, risk assessment or reduce risk. In some situation like a limited budget, it might be wiser to manage or minimize risk rather than trying to eliminate. I give example. For example, in many developing countries, and Egypt is one of it, the cost of operation and maintenance and the lack of required skills are the limitation on wastewater treatment capacity. In this situation, we can face this problem by introducing primary treatment at the beginning to be developed or updated later when we have enough budget to secondary treatment. But this case not happen. We can also reduce risk by revising or do improvement in science and researches and change the public preferences. Decentralization for wastewater collection and treatment, really on simple collection and treatment technology, can be done, especially in rural areas. We can use low-cost technology for wastewater treatment. And water quality can be improved by storing in reservoirs that provide peak equalization. Beside the risk reduction, we can also do something in the strategy developments. There is a need to support policymakers to make informed decisions that lead to cost-effective interventions that improve public health, promote sustainable sanitation, protect the environment, and support food security and economic development. To achieve this goal, we required facilitate the exchange of information on best practices, include successful risk assessment and mitigation strategies among partners around the global through national and regional knowledge tools and websites and based data banks and so on, and like our round table today when we exchange information. Or consolidation of information on the science and practice of wastewater use and well targeted research to address gaps in the evidence base needed to support informed decision makers. Policy level interventions and the strong institutional coordination is required in these regards. The policies outside the water sector are as important as those within the sector. That means the other stakeholders or other relevant ministries and governmental institutions. A much larger challenges concern is the discomfort and the acceptance of the farmers and communities with reusing human waste. As farmers or traders might not see direct benefit in changing their behavior, then studies are needed to understand local knowledge and perspective to suggest incentives and social marketing approaches. This is to promote recommended practices with the highest potential for local adaptation. My last slide is the conclusion. Fresh water scarcity in many regions is a challenge which could be partly addressed by exploiting the potential contribution of wastewater irrigation. The rate of wastewater treatment is still low in many countries. Indeed, many wastewater treatment plants are plagued by poor operation and maintenance and operated well beyond their design capacity. The laws and regulation prohibiting the agriculture use untreated or partly treated wastewater exist, but their implementation remains a challenge. Risk reduction could solve partly some problems. The urban cycle is very expensive. Cost recovery is essential because in most developing countries, there is no cost recovery or charge for wastewater treatment. Enhancement of public-private partnership. Private sector should be involved in the process because the governments cannot. It is a big burden to the government, yes, to cover wastewater treatment for the whole countries. Awareness campaign is very essential, not only for civil society, but also for decision makers, engineers, farmers, laborers, schools. Thank you very much. And actually, we have in Egypt a lot of experience. Maybe during the discussions, we can raise some of these experiences. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Samia. Two slides, and then we'll start your presentation, because this is the goal of this session, of course. Reusing water, actually, this is the question is how we can match usage and sources. And if we are very open-minded, we could say that as usage, you have everything, including, of course, irrigation. Irrigation means for agriculture, of course, but also landscaping, golf, etc. And as a source, you may have any sort of wastewater coming from urban, domestic water, industrial water, agricultural water, or why not all oil and gas produced water. And this is very important to keep that in mind, because even we are now in a congress on irrigation, agricultural irrigation, there is no way to select a project with only one single purpose. Actually, you can irrigate treated wastewater during the irrigation season, but you can also refill groundwater or use it for urban usage for the rest of the time. And it's because you are succeeding in combining all this usage and sources that you will succeed in your project. And one key for a sustainable project, for that you need to achieve different objectives. The project may be safe regarding safety, sanitary question, agroeconomical question, environmental impact. It needs to be profitable, otherwise there is no cost recovery and no success. It may be technically feasible, of course, acceptable, and also take place in a adapted institutional framework and a regulation framework. So to match this usage and the sources, you need to implement different water reuse chain, the so-called water reuse chain. That is a combination between technology, reclamation technology, storage, distribution, adapted irrigation devices, and practices. agricultural, of course, practices to try to limit the risk and emphasize the benefits. There are many questions, and from this question we selected two questions, and we ask you to try to illustrate from your experience these two questions, one of the two questions. These two questions are, what are the way, the possibilities, the methodologies, the technical facilities that can allow to securize the wastewater reuse chain, okay, regarding the complex equation I've just shown. And the second question is, can we reuse low-treated water, raw or low-treated water? This is the idea that we can, for a given number of countries, is there is no way to imagine to put technology, to only the technology to reduce the risk, but you need to also to find innovative solution to mitigate this risk by low energy or low cost technology and very adapted practices. So during this afternoon, we have 3 hours, and we will do a short world tour, I would say. We will have 12 presentations, and come presentation from the Republic of Djibouti, Indonesia, from France, from Egypt, Italy, Algeria, Jordan, South Africa, Morocco, and a last-minute presentation from Japan. To reach our objectives, meaning that we want to share experience, and we want also at the end, and Akissa will conclude by trying to select or to highlight the best ideas. It is possible only if everybody is brief. And you know already the rule. You have 5 minutes to present your case, your experience, and you will have 5 minutes to answer the questions. So I've got my panel sign here. 1 minute left. We absolutely need to do that, because otherwise we'll spend the night here. So I'm not against this perspective, but probably you have something else to do tonight. So thank you very much for everybody to be brief and to try to select the most important ideas. So I will please ask Mr. Sanou. Where is Mr. Sanou? Mr. Sanou is the director of, maybe it's wrong, so you need to correct, please come here. He's the director of West Africa Operational Department in the SOS Sahel. He's coordinating actions and initiatives at the local scale. And today he will talk about the water use for micro gardens in the Republic of Djibouti. So he asked me if he could present in French the presentation. So we will do that. So you will have 4 minutes and a half in French, and I'll ask Rémi Declercq to translate the most important ideas afterwards. Please come here.
Ça, c'est pour passer des slides. Et ça, c'est le bip. Ça, à droite, pour passer les slides. Ah, okay.
OK. Bonsoir à tous. Je m'appelle Edouard Sanou, de SOS Sahel. SOS Sahel, c'est une ONG qui intervient dans le domaine de la sécurité alimentaire et de la nutrition. Et justement, nous développons des approches simples au niveau des communautés, pour essayer de développer effectivement des solutions qui puissent apporter des réponses effectivement à cette sécurité alimentaire. Donc, c'est ainsi que nous avons mené courant 2014-2015 une étude au niveau de Djibouti dans le cadre donc de la mise en œuvre d'un projet de sécurité alimentaire. Et bien entendu, SOS Sahel, sa zone, donc j'allais dire... d'intervention, ce sont des zones assez difficiles, des zones arides. Et Djibouti est une zone où il ne pleut pas assez, 150 mm d'eau par an, avec des sécheresses récurrentes, et aussi avec peu de ressources en terre. On a juste 3% de superficie qui peuvent être cultivées. Et pour cette raison, justement, nous avons pensé qu'il était utile qu'on puisse développer des solutions simples hein, pour faire donc donner la réponse par rapport donc à cette rareté des terres et aussi de ressources en eau. Donc, le projet que nous développons effectivement intervient au niveau de trois régions, au niveau donc de Djibouti, et il s'agit de produire des légumes à partir donc d'eau usée, hein, des eaux à partir donc des ablutions qui sont faites au niveau donc de Djibouti. Et justement, les attentes, hein, les résultats attendus de ce projet, c'est que 200 villages, ou du moins 200 ménages, installent donc 200 micro-jardins avec une superficie donc de 5 mètres carrés pour produire par an 6 tonnes de tomates, 22 tonnes de laitue, hein, 7,5 tonnes d'oignons et aussi des aubergines. Et justement, le revenu qui soit attendu en termes monétaires se chiffre autour de 86 580 euros. Et justement, quels sont, ce qui est fait au niveau des ménages? Au niveau des ménages, eh bien, c'est des micro-jardins qui sont installés, 5 mètres carrés, comme je l'ai dit. Et chaque ménage peut effectivement obtenir autour de 200 tomates, hein, de 36 laitues au bout de 60 jours, des aubergines et aussi des oignons. Et justement, au regard du contexte qui est celui de Djibouti, quel justement changement de paradigme il faut apporter pour effectivement donc résoudre ce problème de rareté des terres, mais aussi de rareté de ressources en eau. Nous avons pensé qu'il était opportun qu'on puisse y implanter effectivement des micro-jardins hein, qui puissent être arrosés à partir des eaux issues des ablutions. Parce que Djibouti, c'est un pays à forte majorité musulmane, où au niveau des ménages, on a une forte quantité d'eau qui est produite, ou du moins qui est utilisée pour les ablutions. En moyenne, on a 27 litres par jour qui sont utilisés pour les ablutions au niveau donc des ménages. Et de façon raisonnable, cette quantité d'eau peut être utilisée pour irriguer ou arroser les 5 mètres carrés qui sont implantés au niveau donc des ménages. Parce que ces micro-jardins ont la faculté de ne pas utiliser beaucoup d'eau, en moyenne 3 litres par jour pour 1 mètre carré. Et qu'est-ce qui nous fait dire que effectivement ce sera du succès hein, par rapport donc à cette solution simple? Au niveau donc de ces villages qui sont identifiés pour recevoir donc ces projets-là, il n'y a que au sein des ménages, on a donc une forte production aussi, j'allais dire, de déjections animales qui puissent être utilisées comme support de production pour pallier effectivement à cette insuffisance de terres hein, cultivables. Et il y a aussi que, de façon, j'allais dire, permanente, il est produit environ 27 litres d'eau par jour. Et ensuite, quel est le dispositif que nous utilisons pour effectivement la collecte de cette eau qui est issue des ablutions? Donc c'est juste un bassin hein, qui est creusé, qui retient l'eau, directement, ou encore à partir d'un bidon de 20 litres, à partir duquel effectivement donc l'arrosage est effectué. Et quel est le risque qui est encouru? En réalité, il n'y a pas de risque puisqu'il n'y a pas véritablement un contact fécal hein, de cette eau. Et nous pensons qu'il n'y a pas de risque et aussi il n'y a pas véritablement un coût hein, lié effectivement à l'utilisation de cette eau parce qu'elle est directement issue effectivement des eaux usées au niveau du ménage. Et ensuite, le matériel qui est utilisé comme support de production, eh bien, c'est du matériel usagé. Ça peut être des pneus, ça peut être effectivement des bassines usagées et qui sont utilisées pour recevoir effectivement donc cette production-là. Voilà, en 5 minutes, je crois, ce que j'avais à dire par rapport donc à cette expérience que nous menons à Djibouti. Merci bien.
Merci. Merci, Monsieur Sanou. Effectivement, 5 minutes 04, comme ça donne... it gives you an indicator about the time that you have, so it's very short. 5 minutes, perfect. So maybe we'll ask Rémi to give us some translation. It's not a professional translator, but he will try his best. Can we open the microphone? Yes. It works, no? Rémi? Do you have somebody to... Or? Is there anybody from... it's coming, Rémi.
Okay, it's good. So for this project in Djibouti, it's led by the NGO SOS Sahel, who work on food security. And here in Djibouti, they are working on three main areas: at household level for grey water reuse. This project was financed by the European Union, and they're working at household level to reuse grey water in micro garden. So within this project, there is no treatment implemented, no disinfection, and the objective is to reuse around 20, to irrigate 5 square meters garden with households grey water, which is around 27 liters per person. The objective in terms of yield is 86,000 euro. And they use, they produce vegetables using high hydroponic irrigation to valorize water at the maximum and to valorize land also at the maximum. That's all,
well, I think. Thank you. Okay, so I'm opening the floor to the questions. Two questions. We can take two questions in French or in English. Do you have any question? Yes, sir.
Et sur le plan de la santé publique, est-ce qu'il y a eu des objections à ce réemploi des eaux d'ablution? Si j'ai bien compris, c'est les eaux d'urine, en fait, hein, mais qui sont diluées, c'est ça? Ou j'ai pas bien compris? What do you call grey water?
Oui, en fait, ce n'est pas des eaux d'urine.
Ah,
ce sont des eaux, des ablutions.
Mais les ablutions...
Le lavage des mains et des pieds,
ah, d'accord,
avant de faire la prière.
Les eaux de toilette, d'accord.
Voilà.
D'accord.
Do you have to translate? Or... Yes. So we are talking about the sanitary limitation using this type of water. This is grey water, but only coming from hand washing and feet washing ablutions. Another question? Yes, Samia, please.
Yeah, actually, I don't speak French. I don't understand what has been discussed. But my question, did you do any analysis for the plants? Yes, because this gray water contains chemicals, yes, detergents and sometimes dangerous chemicals. Did you do any analysis for the crops, yes?
Est-ce que vous avez compris les...
Oui, j'ai compris.
OK, pardon.
En fait, on évite effectivement les eaux de vaisselle et de lessive. Là où, effectivement, on utilise du savon pour l'hygiène corporelle. Ce dont il est question ici, c'est effectivement de l'eau pour laver les mains sans utilisation de savon. De l'eau pour laver les pieds avant effectivement de passer à la prière. Donc c'est de l'eau qui ne contient pas de détergent essentiellement.
Okay, there is no detergent in the water, but did you do some analysis? Est-ce que vous avez fait des analyses?
Non, pas du tout. Okay, on n'a pas fait d'analyse.
No analysis. Even voilà. For the pathogens.
Pas fait d'analyse.
Voilà. Even for the pathogen voilà. Concentration.
En fait, le dispositif est fait de la façon suivante. Il y a une aire de lavage qui est aménagée au niveau des ménages. Et à partir de cette aire de lavage où chacun vient faire ses ablutions, eh bien, l'eau est directement recueillie dans un petit bassin qui peut servir de stockage ou encore un bidon de 20 litres. Et ensuite, directement, cette eau est utilisée, effectivement, donc, sur les plantes. Voilà, donc... Ce n'est pas des eaux, j'allais dire, de vaisselle, ni des eaux de lessive, où généralement on utilise du savon.
OK. Actually, voilà. This is not a traditional grey water. So this is special water with nothing inside. Okay. One last question, please. Last one. Bruno?
Yeah, so I will do my question in two languages. Well, it's very interesting how to use some, I would say, traditional water or water which is attached to the tradition for a beneficial use. Mm-hmm. And this poses several questions. And one of the questions is of the economic model that we could develop behind this use. And a second question that we were discussing this morning, it's the question of the interest to separate the different waste and wastewaters, because each time you have a typical wastewater, it has specific characteristics and you may have a specific type of reuse. We usually think about industrial water, but we could broaden the scope and have this kind of idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is more a comment than a question, Bruno. Okay, thank you very much. So this is it was a general comment.
But the question is, la question c'est est-ce que il y a du commerce derrière ces jardins?
Oui, en réalité, ce sont des jardins qui sont implantés au sein des ménages. Comme on l'a dit, Djibouti se caractérise véritablement par un fort taux de malnutrition, notamment au niveau des enfants. Donc cette production qui est faite au sein des ménages sert d'abord à enrichir, j'allais dire, les repas au sein des ménages, et c'est le surplus justement qui est peut-être vendu sur la place du marché. Mais quand on fait, quand on valorise la production du point de vue monétaire, effectivement, ça donne les chiffres qui sont apparus là dans la présentation.
Merci.
Sinon, en priorité, l'activité en fait s'adresse aux populations vulnérables, hein, aux populations les plus pauvres au niveau donc des localités.
Merci.
Et c'est véritablement des solutions assez simples. On n'a pas besoin ici, effectivement, de payer quoi que ce soit. Le matériel qui est utilisé comme support de production, c'est du matériel usagé. Comme je l'ai dit, ça peut être des pneus, ça peut être des bassines usagées, ça peut même être des sacs en polypropylène, hein, qu'on remplit effectivement de matière organique. Et comme cette matière organique est aussi, j'allais dire, produite en grande quantité, parce que chaque ménage a au moins quelques têtes de bovins, eh bien, le support est vite trouvé. Et ça pallie, du coup, effectivement, à cette insuffisance, j'allais dire, d'aliments pour améliorer les repas, mais aussi le problème de terre pour faire la production. Parce que Djibouti, c'est véritablement un village, ou du moins un pays, où on a des montagnes partout. Et les zones de production ne courent pas les rues. Donc, c'est véritablement, j'allais dire, des solutions simples. De toute façon, la vocation de SOS Sahel, c'est véritablement de proposer des approches assez simples qui sont réplicables, hein, qui sont facilement mises en œuvre au sein des communautés. Et c'est en cela que, effectivement, cette expérience est en train d'être faite au niveau de Djibouti.
Merci, M. Sanou. Merci beaucoup. Je crois qu'on peut l'applaudir. Je ne sais pas si c'est de là qu'on applaudit. OK. Now I will introduce Mr. Anugra Purwadi, sorry for the pronunciation, from Indonesia. No, don't leave the room. Okay. So for a presentation, okay, I need to switch to your presentation here. So you have 5 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. And the use of urbanized wastewater for irrigation.
Okay, thank you. My name is Anugrah Purwadi. I'm from Indonesia. I'm working in Public Work Department in Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta is a special region, 1 hour flying from Jakarta. So this is the case, and this is the real case in my country, and especially in my region, in Yogyakarta. Wadas Lintang Irrigation Area on Central Java, Indonesia. This is in southern of Java, and I will to deliver to my presentation represent what Mr. Agus Suprapto and Vicky Arianti. So you can see. Yeah. In Wadah Sindang area, water use as an essential role in flood and food and many amenity supplies such as sanitation, irrigation, and so on. And my case in example and secondary irrigation channel, namely Sudagaran Siwatu. The secondary channel is part of the Wadah Sindang system. Wadah Sindang is primary irrigation channel, and Sudagaran Siwatu is the secondary from flowing from the Wadah Sindang reservoir. And irrigation water use faces safe recommendation from non-agricultural users, mostly relative with the environmental impacts. So in some of this basin, the overuse of water is not adapted to the limited water availability, which is resulting in environmental water scarcity. And can you see in Wadah Sindang area, the average annual precipitation over Wadah Sindang for above to 3,700 millimeter, but occasionally to below at 1,500 millimeter a year. And while the average is approximately 2,100 millimeter a year. And for this picture, you can see that 9 years annual precipitation tends to decrease. Nine years from this year, maybe from 2005. And this is the case condition in Wadah Sindang. Then in Sudagaran is secondary channel. People use this channel for the disposal area, like this. Sorry. Where is my... yes. Disposal area. And the houses is near with the irrigation channel. So the people use this channel to flowing this disposal. And the growing water scarcity is intensified by the competition from non-agricultural users and environmental consequences of irrigation. This is the impact of this case in this Wadah Sindang. And in infrastructure degradation and suboptimal control of the irrigation works also resulted in large water deficit for the agricultural and worse water quality. This condition make the quality of water to decrease. And this condition faces with the agricultural amenities, and then the people use that the disposal area for the irrigation. Okay, thank you. And in this Wadah Sindang has a three cropping pattern. And the last cropping pattern only non-pedis. Two cropping pattern is pedis areas. And can you see in the Wadah Sindang and Sudagaran Siwatu irrigation channel, the irrigation at the top and then they flowing to bottom. But and so people use the fertilizer to increase the crops production. Because if a fertilizer is there and then mix with water, then in the bottom is to increase too. Maybe this is increase the crop production. And people realize and consider that this is the the ways if they want not to lose the production. So this is in case in Wadah Sindang. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any question?
Yeah, thank you very much. Could you tell me briefly, what do you think the elements in the water is the problem?
The environmental?
Yeah, what do you think? What is the problem within the water? What elements, for example, is
yes,
is the metals or the, you know, what is harmful or for
environment?
As if I understand it correctly, so much water, you know, in this area.
Yes, yes.
Briefly, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, the environmental problems in our authority is the mix with the disposal area and the agriculture users. And this in Wadas Lintang especially, maybe in comparing with Sumatra and Kalimantan, the condition is more better because in Sumatra, Kalimantan, no, maybe some people did not consider for this condition. The in Sumatra and Kalimantan, the people is lower than in Java, and the crop production depend on in my island in Java. Yes, this is the problem, maybe environmental, but we can try to reduce the environmental. If we want to crop production, we must work together with the farmers, especially, and to increase the crop production. Because rice in Java, they can spread out in all of my country, to Sumatra, to Kalimantan, until to Papua. Papua is too very, very far for Jakarta. This is the problem. And we can increase that, we can try to into maybe to make sure that the environmental is not compact. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Yes?
Sorry, I couldn't get the health problem. Do you have any problem with pathogens? I did get the problem you raised. What is the problem out of this presentation? You have pathogen problems? I'm not talking of environment. I mean, I'm talking of health.
Okay. Yes.
Do you have or not?
Yes, thank you. Yes, of course, we have a problem in Wadas Lintang especially. So the problem is that's that picture, the rain is too very lower until 10 years, and the last 10 years, and the water availability is very low. So, and these two, where to maybe involve the environmental too.
Okay, yeah, maybe during the break. Okay, without any microphone, it doesn't work. So maybe you can have a talk with during the break time.
Okay.
You could have a talk, interesting
yes.
talk.
Yes,
I'm
Dr.
Sure.
Nicolas.
Okay, thank you very much
thank
for
you.
Your presentation.
Yes, thank you.
So I will ask Jacques Béraud from SCP come here and present some experience of water reuse or future water reuse in the southeast of France. I launch you your slideshow.
Okay, thank you, Nicolas. Thank you, everybody. So my name is Jacques Béraud, and I work for Société du Canal de Provence. Southeast France, we are an irrigation and water transfer company. So my presentation will be about an experiment of a wastewater reuse in Southeast France in the Verdon Regional Park area. The main idea is that wastewater reuse may prove locally to be a relevant answer to water scarcity in remote areas far from conventional irrigation networks. Provence, southeast France, is an area where there is big irrigation network, but some areas are not fed by this irrigation network. So in this project, there were two actions. The first one was to assess opportunities of agriculture wastewater reuse in the regional territory. And the second action was to test on-field efficiency of a rustic, low-technological scheme. And my presentation will be on the second action of the project, the on-field rustic, low-technological scheme. The field location in the Verdon Regional Park. So that's a photograph of the place where we took part the experiment. That's the little Moissac-Bellevue village with 50 hectares irrigable farmland, four farmers, and a different type of culture. Low water availability, no river, no connection to regional hydraulic networks, and no available relevant aquifer to be used for irrigation. On the other hand, there is a 4,000 people equivalent wastewater treatment plant that is 2 kilometers upstream from a seasonal stream, a dry stream. So that is, according to the French conception of water, 500 cubic meter a day of discharge. You have a description of the case study. Here is the wastewater treatment plant that is almost 2 kilometers away from the farming area. And the blue line is the seasonal stream. Seasonal stream, which means that except from rainy episodes, there is no water flowing in the river. So the river in the dry period is only composed of the discharge of the wastewater treatment plant. So what we did for this field test was to monitor sanitary parameters from the wastewater treatment plant to the farmland uses between 2012 and 2015. Sanitary parameters within the river and on the field for experiment. And then we measured also continuous flow rate in the dry seasonal stream. And then we had experiments setting up a temporary storage lagooning basin. So that's what we spoke a few minutes ago. This basin will be used both for to store water and then to use it as a lagooning, so that is tertiary treatment from for the wastewater. Yeah, I didn't tell you, but the wastewater is a classical activated sludge wastewater treatment plant that is very common wastewater treatment plant in France. The results. So you see here the concentrations of E. coli. So, okay, thank you, Nicolas. Concentration of E. coli along the stream there from point 1 to point 5. Point 1 is up from the wastewater treatment plant, and then you have point 5, that is when we had a test of a storage lagooning basin. So regarding suspended solids, chemical oxygen demand, E. coli, and coliforms, the B water quality for the French regulations is maintained when water reaches the farmland. That means after 1 kilometer or 1.5 kilometers running through the seasonal stream. So there's a wide panel of agricultural uses is already possible for this wastewater after the wastewater treatment plant and the running in the stream. But then after 8 days of storage lagooning, it increases water quality and allows reaching the A water quality regarding these parameters. So then that means the panel of uses gets wider, and even for that is for one point, and probably we have to dig and to get more analysis for the parameters. But then it means vegetable cropping would even be an option. So with this multiple barrier, that is wastewater treatment plant, the dry seasonal stream, and then the storage lagooning system. So the conclusion, I mean, this case study applies what the World Health Organization calls the multiple barrier approach. So we have a succession of a classical activated sludge wastewater treatment plant, the course of effluent in a dry seasonal stream, the storage lagooning basin, and then, of course, irrigation technique that will help keeping the sanitary risk low. Another conclusion is that a relevant and rustic hydraulic scheme can be set up, avoiding intensive additional treatment. So we don't speak about membrane, we don't speak about UV, it's just rustic, low energy and low infrastructure treatment complements. Further testing is required, of course, especially regarding viral and parasitic parameters, because we only focused on bacteriological parameters yet. And that is the action one of the project. 40 sites in Provence, hinterland, that means away from the big hydraulic networks, may be suitable for this type of schemes. That's it. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Thank you, Jacques, for this interesting presentation that shows also that even in France, we can imagine some innovative rustical water reuse chain. So very interesting, maybe promising for the future. Any question? You can take two, three questions. Okay. Please.
What is the rate of nitrogen and phosphorus after the treatment plant?
I think, honestly, it's a pity because the wastewater treatment plant is just working to eliminate nitrogen with nitrification and denitrification, and phosphorus is just trapped in the sludge. So there is not much left, but still there is more than with a conventional water. So I can give you the numbers if you want, but it's not at all like the numbers we had previously today. With the effluence, I was thinking of the Italian's number of this morning. I don't know if you were in the session, but they gave us some numbers of maybe I guess 20 to 30 ppm for nitrogen, total nitrogen. Mm. So because they stopped the treatment, the nitrification denitrification process, so that was quite a high amount. In our case, it was maybe 5 ppm, so that's very low. That's too low for agricultural uses. But, I mean, that's the issue.
Okay.
Another question? Yes, one here, and then...
Okay, classically, this is called an extensive treatment, traditionally, because intensive treatment are treatment that need a small space, a small room, and a small time. To run treatment like this one, you need low cost of land and you need time. Most of the times, this is not possible. If you live in an area where the cost of the land is very high, you cannot use the land just for swimming, okay?
Yep.
And you don't have enough time to treat your water. So this is a classical treatment where you have enough land. So,
what do you mean? You mean lagooning or classical activated sludge?
No, I
mean,
activated sludge is
intensive
treatment.
Lagooning, okay.
You are using lagooning less like a polishing step.
Yes, that's it. That's the point. Yeah.
For a polishing step.
Yes, but I mean.
Let's say something in my area. For 1 square meter of land, you pay 5,000 euros.
Which is the case in most places of Provence. But the idea is to provide rustic and feasible schemes for areas that are quite away from the big urban, densely areas that have a high cost of land. In those places, the cost of land is not the same.
So what I'm saying,
and we are not talking about 30 days lagooning. We are talking about 8 days lagooning. So, of course, the size is much smaller.
But this is a sort of a luxury because you use lagooning as a polishing step.
as a polishing and also as a storage, which means you can have in the beginning of the season, you can have probably...
Anyway, it's correct. You are lucky because you have land and time.
Okay.
Thank you. And the last question. Yes.
Thank you. Just one confirmation. At the end of the treatment plant, is chlorine added or is it not added?
No. Okay. No chlorine. I mean, it's the French regulations don't ask for disinfection of the effluent before discharge in the natural media. So okay. No chlorine.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Jack. Okay. For the next presentation, we were supposed to have a presentation on the Egyptian situation by Mrs. Anan Farag. Is she here or not? No. Okay. So we'll skip to the next presentation done by Dimitri Cereza. So Dimitri Cereza is part of the Ecophilae team, actually, and he will present you a project on a IT web platform to share experiences to securize the water reuse application.
So thank you very much, Nicolas. So now I'm going to present you a map focused on wastewater reuse project around the world. So first, in order to set the context, based on research publication, papers, workshop, we've got a lot of scattered data, and sometimes it's difficult to have upgraded data. So for stakeholders, it's difficult to build a new project, and because it's also difficult to have experience feedbacks about projects. And the last point is the reuse community communicates very, very. The communication is very low. Sorry. So that's why with Ecophilae we decided to create a platform to gather all the data and all the projects around the world. So here we've got approximately 106 projects in this map. We've got different end users, for example, agriculture, industrial recycling, irrigation for the golf courses. So it's just the beginning of the map. So don't be afraid if your project is not here. But the next step for people is to integrate this map, and you will be able to enter your own project. If you click on a point, people will have access on different information. For example, the resource used, for example, domestic wastewater, industrial wastewater, and also the process and the technology treatment used, and also the disinfection process, the storage capacity, etc. It will be, and then to go further with this map, we've got also some statistics on a country scale. For example, irrigated surface with planned reuse, unplanned reused, and also, for example, the water scarcity. So with this map, stakeholders could communicate with for their project. It will be easier to share data and provide statistics on project or country scale. And it will be also easier to have experience feedback for past current projects and also to build new projects. And to highlight projects, you can also draw maps and produce statistics. Our aim for Ecophilae is to build an involved reuse community to help this topic to be more developed, if I can say that. So that's it. I think I respect the time. So now if you've got some questions, there is also some computers outside the room, and you can speak with us, and we will show the map.
Okay, this is a special presentation because actually it's not focused on one experience, but the aim, as you understood, is to integrate the experiences and to try to extract something from them. Is there any questions? Yes, sir. In English, no?
Currently, all the platform is and will be in English. But we could.
Ça m'intéresse pas.
No, we have,
parce que je travaille sur le dictionnaire de l'Académie de l'eau qui sera en deux langues minimum. Et c'est une décision que nous avons prise parce que si le discours sur l'eau se fait en anglais, ça ne suffit pas.
Oh, but it's it's easier for us to translate. D'accord. Ben, je vous parle du coup en français. Il est tout à fait possible pour nous de. It will be easier for us to translate this map, this website, in French. And if you want just the French map, it will be easier for us to give you a French special access just for French projects. But for us, we don't focus only on France. It's the global community, because we think that we have to learn with each other. And for example, you see that we have just only 106 projects because just based on papers review and books review. But I'm sure that in this room, everybody can register 1, 2, or 3 other projects. That's it. Mais on peut le faire en français si vous voulez aussi.
Okay, actually, we had a version in French, English, Arabic, and Spanish. So in the future, it will be the case. And a last question. If there is no question, you have the opportunity to discuss on that if you're interested in during the break. So what I propose you is to try to launch an additional presentation before the break, and because we will have the break in 10 minutes about. It's what I was told. So please, if Mr. Alfieri Police can come here and present his experience on the food industry effluent reuse.
Thank you, Nicola. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Alfieri Pollici. I work at IRSA, Water Research Institute of the National Research Council of Italy. In the very south of Italy, our labs are in the south of Italy. Oh, sorry, this is a different one. Yeah, okay. And in the last about 20 years, we've been doing lots of research activities and demo scale and demonstration projects on treated wastewater reuse for irrigation in agriculture. And this morning I have presented something, field scale activity that we have done in the south of the region. We come from Puglia, which is, this is Puglia, this is the southeastern part of the country. And we are located in Bari. And this morning I presented something that we are running in the south of Puglia here, more or less. And this afternoon I will present something that we are running in the north of the country, of the region. So this is the test site, the case study. It is a factory. It is a company that produces vegetables, canned vegetables. So they cultivate. They have their own fields where they cultivate their crops, horticultures. mostly tomatoes, but also aubergines and other sort of horticultures, depending on the season. And then they crop them and they take them to the plant, and in the plant they wash and they process, they cook, they steam, they dry, and they put them in cans and they sell it all over the world. So we have, and of course in doing this process they produce water, wastewater as a byproduct. So we have shown the owner of the company that his wastewater is not just a waste. It's not just. It could be not just a problem for them, for the company, for the factory, but he can look also it as a resource. And so they have, they used to have a wastewater treatment plant, and they used to discharge their effluent after treatment to a canal. And we said, okay, why don't we try and recover this water and use it for irrigation, since you use lots of cubic meters per day for irrigation. So it's a drop in the sea because, of course, they have, I don't know how many tens of hectares of land, of irrigated land. So they are producing a limited amount of water, and so it's really a limited contribution to their water consumption, but still is an approach. It's a new approach for food processing companies. So wastewater treatment plant was upgraded with a tertiary treatment in order to have effluents that were not only complying with the limits for discharge, but also were complying for the limits for reuse, which in Italy, as I showed this morning, are very strict. And so we have to we had to place membrane ultrafiltration, tertiary treatment, which is a high-tech technology. I agree with the presentation that was done before. But in this case, we have limited space, and we need to comply to very strict standards, and so we need to have high-tech. And then, of course, we don't have huge volumes of water to be treated, so small-scale plant, relatively small-scale plant. And so we adopted the membrane ultrafiltration technology, and followed by UV disinfection, because there is a storage in between. And so during storage, as I said this morning, there may have regrowth of microbiology parameters. And so we normally place UV on demand, which is switched on when the irrigation line is switched on. I don't think you can read here, but I will read it for you. So the sources of wastewater is agro-industrial wastewater, and the size of the plant is about 1,500 cubic meter per year. The uses are mostly, the uses of the experimental tests were tomato and cabbage growing, broccoli. I don't know, broccoli is... I think it's international. Irrigated area is about 3,000 square meter, and the cost of the cubic meter is between 0.2 and 0.4 euro per cubic meter, so about 30 cents of euro. Water use chain is activated sludge, tertiary sand and membrane filtration, and disinfection is done through membrane ultrafiltration on demand. Drip irrigation and 20 cubic meter of storage capacity. Let's go further. I stayed strictly in the template that I was provided. Mm-hmm. So the first question is this one, and for use in irrigation, we found that, of course, this goes beyond the case study. This goes to our experience in several case studies. So membrane ultrafiltration, in general, membrane technologies are adequate, and of course they are very, very good. They have very good performances in terms of water quality, so they normally provide water quality that doesn't need further treatment, not even disinfection, if you use it directly.
Oh, that's good.
We can also, we have also done tests with less expensive and less simpler systems like cloth filtration, like disk filters. These work by gravity as well. And in this case, you need some kind of disinfection, and it's very much cost effective. It's easy to operate and cost effective. And the other thing is that the nitrogen conservation can be obtained by performing nitrification, not denitrification, and it's useful to limit external fertilization. In terms of the use of lower quality wastewater, we have come to the idea that nitrogen doesn't need to be removed, even when you have to store, because algal blooms can be controlled through phosphorus removal. So if you effectively remove phosphorus, you can keep nitrogen in the water and you will not have algal blooms in the storage tanks. Of course, removing selectively phosphorus implies precipitation and so some specific treatment, but it can be done. It's not a big problem. A very big issue is for microbiological contamination. Microbiological contamination is very stressed as a requirement in most regulations. We have done specific research in this field, and we have recently published in Water Research, and we have done simulations on field where we have used much higher Escherichia coli concentrations than those allowed, and we found out that persistence on vegetables, accumulation on soil, and percolation through the soil column is very limited. So we can safely use concentration of at least Escherichia coli. We have worked on the parameter, on the specific parameter Escherichia coli. If you have concentration of Escherichia coli even higher than 10 to the power of 3 or 10 to the power of 4, it is very likely that you will not find anything after a couple of weeks or so. Not in crops, not in the soil, not in the ground. And this has been demonstrated scientifically now. So partially treated wastewater can safely be used for irrigation, and standards, in my opinion, push to high technologies even when it is not really needed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Alfieri. It shows that water use may be a valuable option for industry also, so this is very interesting. And we'll have also another illustration at the end of the session with different industrial effluent, mine drainage effluent from South Africa.
This was easy.
Food industry, yes, I know. What is interesting with food industry effluent that sometimes there is no pathogens. You don't have the question of microbiological questions.
Yes, but you may have organic contaminants like pesticides and you can have metals. So,
okay, you need to monitor and take care about the quality. Any questions? And after, as promised, you will have the break. Yes, two questions here, Jacques Digela, or Digela Jacques. Ah, no, Jacques.
I was wondering about Italian regulations and the Italian development of wastewater reuse. Because in France, we seem to have these different classes of qualities for wastewater reuse. So theoretically, it could be feasible to have easier wastewater reuse schemes. But still, the regulation is so complicated that there is no development of agricultural wastewater reuse in France. So I was wondering how it goes in Italy with very high standards, but still we hear of development of wastewater reuse schemes.
Our activities and our role is to do pre-regulation research. So we give suggestions for the regulations. So we try to do our research also doing tests beyond the limits of the current regulation. So we can demonstrate that regulation can be updated and can be changed. In any case, in Italy, it's very strict, as you have said, and we have a framework national regulation on wastewater reuse, and then we have local regional regulations that sometimes are even stricter than the national standards. In the case of our region, the regional regulation is more or less the same as the national one, as the same limits. But there is a lot of discussion because, for instance, regulations are much weaker for instance, for bathing waters. So you have thousands of coliforms allowed for bathing waters, and you have 10 coliforms allowed for irrigation water. And then you have no limits. I'm speaking about microbiology. You have no limits for water uptake from rivers. And when you measure the coliform concentration in rivers, is normally much higher than from effluents of wastewater treatment plants. So it's very ambiguous. It's very tricky.
Yes, we are in the same situation in France. No regulation about irrigation quality. Two last questions, Digela and Dr. Elgendi.
I think it's very interesting because in France we have two separate regulations for the reuse of the food industry wastewater. You have one regulation, and you have no need to treat water. Perhaps somebody can translate, but it means épandage. And in France, there's no problem for épandage for
spreading.
Many years. Spreading, yes, thank you. Oh. And that's not the same regulation that for reuse wastewater, domestic wastewater. That was just, and in Italy, that's the same regulation for the both.
In Italy, it's the same regulation as long as food industry wastewater also includes toilets, and so it basically is a mixture of processed water and toilet water. So it goes all to the same treatment plant. And then the treatment plant used to go to discharge, and then so the limit for discharge is the same, independent.
Okay. Two last question, short answer, please.
It's just a comment, because I work with Alfieri, so there's no problem. But the question is a key topic about in every country in Europe. I already told this morning, I make a clear observation. European Union issues many directives. We have a batting directive, aquaculture directive, wastewater discharge directive. European Union never issues a directive on wastewater use. They are working since many years. And I told this morning that probably they will not issue this before I die. The question is very simple. There are two questions. Oh, sure. Okay. You mean my diet or the issues? Okay. Okay, the regulation. Okay, the other question is that you will see even during this meeting, wastewater use is a site-specific topic. Each country accepts a specific risk, and this is reflected by the regulation of each country. Mm-hmm. So we'll never have the same regulation. Take this for sure. The second is a business question. When a public authority has to release an authorization, please use reused wastewater, they can be claimed guilty if some illness occurs. Mm-hmm. They have two counterparts, the plant constructors and the farmers. The plant constructor says, we can construct high-tech with no risk. There is no reason for a public authority. The choice is always one. The lobby of the plant constructors is much more strong than the lobby of farmers. And this is my 30 years experience in the area.
Thank you very much. And we keep these two questions for the conclusion. And we'll ask Akisa to report this question at the end. Okay, last question, Dr. Al-Ghandi, and then the break.
Thank you for your presentation. It was clear that no Escherichia coli is in the water because it is no sewage water. Yes, it is only food processing.
No, it is not only food.
Yes.
No, because toilet water goes only in the same wastewater, so there is a contribution, a limited contribution from the toilets.
Okay, and what about pesticides? Because
Of course, yes. We have not done specific measurements, specific monitoring of micro pollutants and organic contaminants. Our monitoring is based on gross parameters, I would say. So. Yes, we are treating with ultrafiltration membranes, so probably ultrafiltration membranes, which means 0.0 something microns, could reduce the concentration of pesticides as well. But we haven't monitored.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. And so we can have a break, and we will... yes, you can applaud him. We'll start the second part of the session at 4 p.m. So you are free now to have a coffee if